Okay, so why did Philip Davis decide to stand in the election?
Well, he was the existing Member of Parliament and obviously wants to carry on being the Conservative MP representing the people of Shipley, which he's done splendidly since 2005.
Does Philip Davis consider himself to be local?
I think pretty much, yeah.
What does Philip Davis think is the most important issue facing the constituency?
I think what we've set out as far as the obviously the issues that face the country are the things that are most important. So I would say getting the economy right, having strong leadership, and getting the right deal on leaving the European Union are the things that are the most important things out there.
What does Philip Davis consider to be the most important policy?
Well, I can't give you a straight answer on that one, I'm afraid. I mean, I think there are a lot of things that are really important out there, but I think in terms of what the coming government has got to do, the most important thing that's got to be done is to get the right deal on leaving the European Union.
Why does Philip Davis think he would be the best person to represent the constituency?
It's not just about 10 years of experience of doing so, it's also the question of actually being able to be independent-minded. And I think Philip has shown that over the last 10 years, that he's prepared to vote against his own party, he's prepared to go out and on a limb on issues, he's prepared to be controversial. And I think that's really been, a lot of people, even though they don't always agree with what Philip says, respect the fact that he's a man who's prepared to stand up for what he thinks is important.
Well, Philip Davis has elicited much publicity for the constituency with his views on equality. Many feel he has put Shipley on the map for the wrong reason. Do you consider him a positive person to represent and promote Shipley?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly when I knock on doors and I go out and fill up, you know, the response we get on the doorstep is brilliant. I mean, you know, a lot of people really, really respect. And I don't think that, you know, and I'm going to say anything that Phil hasn't said 100 times, which is to say straight up that he's absolutely in favour of equality. What he's not in favour of is people saying that equality is giving preference to one group over another. And I think that's his line all along. So I think he'd turn around and say to you that, yeah, he absolutely believes in equality. It's discrimination that he's against.
Well, he's caused much controversy with filibustering to block bills such as ending violence against women, free hospital car parking for carers, first aid training in schools, to mention but a few. Charles Walker, the Conservative chair of the Procedures Committee, has said, and I quote, "Too often on Fridays when we have private members' bills, this House bleeds. It bleeds credibility and it bleeds standing. We leave this place downcast and somewhat ashamed of the proceedings that have gone before us." Is he bringing both the party and Parliament into disrepute?
No, he's using parliamentary rules to make sure we don't get bad legislation. And I think you know, one of the things about this is that, you know, as he makes it very, very clear on those debates on those Fridays, is that private members can always put forward bills and proposals for things, but they need to be substantive and credible and have support. And if enough people turn up, then he can't filibuster. So the reality is, this isn't about talking out stuff. This is actually about making sure that Parliament spends its time on things that, one, are really important to people out there, and two, that the legislation it's considering is good quality legislation. And quite frankly, a lot of this stuff that we see on a thing isn't actually about making our laws better or even promoting equality or a better life. They're just people grandstanding so they can get in their particular local paper.
Philip Davis has generally voted against greater regulation on gambling and voted against a statutory register on lobbyists. Yet he has received gifts, benefits and hospitality from companies associated with gambling, totalling £4,848.20 over the last year alone. How can he be considered impartial on these issues?
Well, again, so we can turn around and do all this other kind of stuff. If you think that somebody's going to be suddenly become an advocate of gambling because he's taken some hospitality, I think your listeners are actually better informed of that. Phil's a very strong advocate for an important industry in this country, which is the betting and gaming industry and the horse racing business. And they, you know, this is a big, big business in this country. It's a really important business. And what we see is people dredging around, trying to find petty little reasons to attack him for, advocating on behalf of a strong business, an important business in this country. And that's all he's doing. And I think he's got every right to do that as a Member of Parliament.
Now, Mark O'Fallon has announced that there will be house building in the social sector and that there is a crisis in decent, affordable housing. How does this equate with Philip Davis blocking legislation on bad landlords?
I don't see the two things are remotely connected.
Well, the crisis in housing is caused by a lack of rent, affordable rental housing. Housing prices of rented in the private sector are going up and there are poor landlords there. There is a crisis of decent...
There's always been bad landlords, but and the government's done a lot of things on doing those kind of things. And now we have a proposals to actually look at building more houses and about delivering, allowing councils, for example, to begin to intervene in the market in order to deliver more houses. The question about how you regulate landlords is again, it's about getting it right and simply having. Making landlords register doesn't do anything other than simply raise the cost of rents. That's all it does. It's just a charge on landlords, and that's passed straight on to the tenant. So, the argument that somehow opposing that is meaning you support bad landlords, again, is misrepresenting the truth.
Philip Davis has consistently voted against slowing the rise in rail fares in 2013. Since the return of North East Coast Rail to private hands, it has demonstrated the highest rise in rail fares of any rail company, impacting on local people using the London line. Do you think he was right to do that?
Yeah, when was the last time you went to London on a train?
Not so long. Last month.
Yeah, well, do you know what percentage of Bradfordians actually use that line?
I don't have the statistics to
hand.
Well,
it's really, I mean, what we need to understand about rail fares, yeah, we need to keep pressurising the rail companies not to increase rail fares too much. But those big intercity railway lines, the people using them, most of them are either people who are on business, and it's fine, or else there are people who are, like me, relatively well off. You know, if we actually want to talk about public transport, we need to talk about buses. We don't want to be we spend too much time talking about trains. If we interfere and start fixing prices on the railways, we create a situation where it just seems to me that everything's about banging some more free stuff at people. Can we actually look at a better way of doing this?